There are two types of people who approached our Lord, two types of people that our Lord dealt with when he came to this world. Those who were willing to receive him and those who were not willing to receive him. Those whose hearts were open to accepting the word of salvation and accepting the word of faith, and those whose hearts were so closed because of pride and because of ego, because of selfishness, because of all the different passions which make man self-centered. And when man falls into this type of trap, or these types of traps, they're not able to accept the word of salvation. And we find oftentimes in the Holy Scriptures that those who accepted the word of salvation were those who had a horrible reputation, those who were sinners. But then again, there are two types of sinners. The sinners who recognize their sinfulness, and the sinners who are also Pharisees, the sinners who are proud of their sin, and the sinners who are not able to repent because they, or rather, we should not say not able, but not willing to repent. And for these people, those who are not willing, God continuously gives chances for them to redeem themselves and for them to come back, or for them to find for them to find the Lord. And we see frightful examples among the Pharisees who had seen unbelievably great miracles to the point of the resurrection of the dead, of Lazarus, and even to the point of the resurrection of our Lord, where they sent to Herod, to Pilate, a request that they would have guards to make sure that the sepulchre is sure, and so on and so forth. And even though the sepulchre was open, and even though our Lord's body was not to be found, they came up with the slander that his disciples took him away, his disciples stole his body. And now we have, in today's gospel reading, a very long gospel reading, a gospel reading with a lot of different messages and teachings for us. And our Lord has a conversation, a synomilia. He's having some type of a conversation with someone, and he strikes up the conversation. It is his way of inviting a sinful person, who is not only a sinful person, but one who is considered a heretic, one who is considered not among the faithful Jews. For the Jews, that is the true believers of the time, had no dealings with the Samaritans. The Samaritans were schismatics, they were outcasts. They did not believe in the resurrection. They had very strange teachings. And our Lord taught them and tried to teach them and taught her, the Samaritan woman, Saint Fotini, that his kingdom is not of this world and that the things of this world are not like the things of the next life. Remember the question coming from the schismatics, the heretics, whose wife shall she be then in the resurrection? And the Lord answered that in the next life, there as the angels of God, no one is given in marriage. We know from the teachings of the Father and the Holy Fathers and the traditions of the Church that the one thing that remains, of course, is the monastic tonsure. For once someone is a monk, one always remains a monk once he is tonsured. And the Fathers also tell us that the monastics fill in the place of the fallen angels, because we are called to come back to our ancient beauty, the beauty before the fall. And our Lord then, after starting this conversation, tries to pull her in, tries to bring her to himself. And the lady responds. And there's something that we must know. In the original Greek, the word pigi has a double meaning. Pigi means source, but it also means well. And so here we have a play on words that our Lord has as a central theme in this conversation, a well. and water. And he tries to convey the message that he is the source, that he is the well of life. And he asks Zephyr to give him water in order for our Lord to give her the water which springs up to life everlasting. And there's a reference to the well being very deep. Well, we also have to dig deep in order for us to find ourselves. Oftentimes people think that everything is just very what you see, very shallow, but it is not so shallow. We have to dig deep, and we dig deep in order to find ourselves. In other words, this is the only way by which we can come to know God, is for us to come to know ourselves. We've made many references, many times, to this work, which takes place in the heart. And we heard from the fathers, as I get to know us the other night, concerning holy baptism and how, when we are baptized, we become temples of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is in our hearts. But then because of our passions, because of our sins, because of our unrepentant state, because of our persistence, and stubbornness in sin, we can't find God in our hearts. It's like we have all this plaque around the heart. So we have these clouds. We have this ice which needs to be broken in order for us to make the connection between our mind and our heart. We need the flame of the Spirit, the flame which softens the heart and melts the ice, until we can finally make some type of a move and to finally see ourselves. And quite frankly, when people start to see themselves, they get discouraged, oftentimes, most of the time. But here is the point where we have to be able to make our decisions. Are we going to continue into the entrance of the heart, or are we going to run out the other way because we don't want to face ourselves? If we run out the other way and not face ourselves and deal with ourselves, we're never going to get anywhere. We're going to have to deal with ourselves every time, wherever we go. Sometimes people want to escape themselves. They feel like, well, maybe I should go somewhere else, maybe I should do something else, because they don't know what to do with themselves, because they don't want to face themselves. But they don't realize that wherever you go, you're taking yourself with you. We're facing ourselves. We're going to have to deal with this unfortunate state of sickness, of brokenness of man, wherever we go, until we start to deal with it. It's not easy, but it can be easy. It can be easy in as much as we turn to our Lord, in as much as we fall down before Him, and as much as we beseech the aid of the Mother of God and of the saints. And then we see a totally different world, and then we see things in a totally different light. So our Lord tells her that He is the source of life. And He makes reference to this water, and she asks for the water. She says, please give me this water so that I not thirst anymore. And our Lord says, go call your husband. Here we have the facing ourselves point. She made the request. She asked for the water so that she not thirst anymore. And then our Lord put in front of her certain things that need to be dealt with, certain things that need to be corrected. Go call your husband. As if our Lord didn't know that she didn't have a husband and had five. And she answered, sir, I have no husband. And our Lord then says, thou hast rightly said, thou hast no husband, for thou hast five. And he whom thou hast now is not thy husband. And this thou hast rightly said. And she answered, sir, I perceive that thou art a prophet. Our fathers worshipped here. But ye say that we must, and so on and so forth. There's a whole conversation that we must worship in Jerusalem. And our Lord says, we must worship God in spirit and in truth. He He's making the connections. He's trying to teach her. He's bringing her, even as he brings us, if we are perceptive. God is worshipped in spirit and in truth. If we have the temple of the Holy Spirit, if we are baptized, wherever we go, we take that Holy Spirit with us. But as we said, our endeavor and our work that we must do is to find the Holy Spirit within us. And then we will experience the grace, and then we will understand, and we will be much more perceptive. And in truth, this is very significant, because he's speaking to a person who is not among the assembly of the right believers. She was a Samaritan, as we said. But our Lord makes reference to the truth. For there is true love and there is false love. And people confuse the two. If a person is sick with a cancerous tumor, and a doctor tells the person, it's okay, you're going to be fine. And he deals with her in a loving way, but he doesn't really deal with the problem. This is not true love. However, if another doctor approaches the person and says, we have to have an emergency operation. You are very ill. You have to be operated on. And we need to take out the tumor. That is true love. Because this doctor is trying to uproot the problem so that the person will live. And that is what our Lord means by truth. True faith. Because he's speaking to someone who is not a true believer. However, it's very significant that he's speaking to her. And he's dealing with her in a loving manner. Because the true believers, many of the true believers, many of the Jews who were Pharisees, lost the heavenly kingdom because they were so stuck on the fact that they were so-called true believers, that they were the disciples of Moses. So much so that when the greater of Moses came, our Lord, they could not recognize him because they could not recognize his father. This is the other danger. We talk about the temptation from the right and the temptation from the left. And the Holy Fathers tell us the temptation from the right is worse than the temptations from the left. And because of this, the Pharisees were not able to accept the message of salvation of our Lord. However, this heretical, Samaritan, sinful woman accepted the message of our Lord. For our Lord says, I have come to call the sinners, not the righteous, the sinners unto repentance. So the Samaritan woman has been given a chance, and she accepts the message of our Lord. She's pricked somewhat because our Lord speaks to her conscience and tells her that she has had five husbands, and whom thou hast not is not thy husband. And she perceives something special in him, and she goes and tells the people, and the people welcome him and receive him. Let us also, my beloved, welcome our Lord. Let us receive him. Let us not be like the foolish Pharisees. Let us make the endeavors which are needed in order for us to find the source of life, the wellspring of life, our Lord. If we just submit, if we just fall in front of him, if we ask him to take care of us, if we do not trust ourselves so much and think of ourselves as something special, but focus ourselves on our Lord, focus ourselves on ourselves, then we will make the connection between ourselves and our Lord, and we will find him. And all of the difficult dealings that we have with ourselves is part of the struggle. There's no way that in this life we will be without struggle, whether we are pious or not pious. But for those of us who are pious, for those of us who want to live a spiritual life, we will find the consolation of our Lord. For many who are not pious, they find despair and despondency. But we have the hope of salvation, the hope of our Lord. Let us always turn to him. Let us never lose sight. And let us be wise not foolish. And now that we are here together, let us take the opportunity to pray to Saint Fotini, because the Samaritan woman is none other than, as we know, Saint Fotini. Saint Fotini is the Samaritan woman. Let us pray to Saint Fotini that she will give us true love, that we will have a good balance in our lives, that we will continue to live the spiritual life, or even make a beginning in the spiritual life, trusting that our Lord is there listening to us and waiting for us to cooperate with Him. And by this means, then, we will surely attain to our salvation. May the Lord grant it unto all of us. And may we always, with one heart and one mind, glorify Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, the one God in Trinity, united and undivided unto the ages. Amen.